Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 to 15. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 to 15. I like to read. Then the sons of the Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh and Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out of the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me met the heart of the people, met with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. And now, behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this here countries about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of the Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim than the land had last from war. This is the word of God. Today's title is Caleb Request Part 2. In the previous session, we examined why the Caleb requested the Hebron region, which all the tribes had shunned. It was not simply because Moses had promised him, but because 45 years earlier, the Israelites had been tempted by the Anakim in Hebron to distrust God and complaint, ultimately leading to the first generation of the Israelites perishing in the wilderness. This was a holy demand to conquer them by faith and restore and strengthen Israel's faith in God. From a redemptive historical perspective, the promise of the land of the Hebron being occupied by the promised descendant fulfilled the covenant of the burning the torch that the God he made with Abraham. Of course, the promise that the God had made to Joseph that his bones would be buried in the land of Shechem and that he would return after four generations was fulfilled. However, through Caleb, God also showed us the way of transformations, allowing us to enter the land of Canaan while still alive. Then, what kind of faith did Caleb have that fulfilled God's covenant? May we also learn and follow his example, so that all the saints of the first church may enter the kingdom of God while still alive, rather than entering heaven after death. Today's passage is testifies of to Caleb's faith in this way. Let's look at the Joshua chapter 14, verse 7. I was 40 years of old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. I like to read one more time. I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. He said, I reported Moses according to my heart. Here, according to my heart means as it is in my heart or according to my belief. The common translations render it as I believed in my heart, and the standard translation as I was convinced. He was convinced that God's word about the land of Canaan were true, as he had seen for himself that there was not a single word of God's promise that was untrue. Let's look at the Numbers 14, verse 6 to 8. I like to read. And Joseph, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of the Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, told their crews. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. Exceedingly good land. That means it's incredibly good land, right? If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Caleb showed the Israelites, who were trembling with fear, a large crust of grapes, the pomegranate, and figs as evidence, declaring that it was the land promised by God. He possessed a faith that was certain of God's presence with them, assuring them that they would surely overcome the Anakim and anyone else who stood in their way. So you can find that in Numbers chapter 14, verse 8 to 9. His faith was unwavering, never doubting God's word. And his faith was one that fully followed God. And also you can find at the Joshua chapter 14, verse 8, but I followed the Lord my God fully. He said, I followed the Lord my God fully. The report of the 10 spies discouraged the Israelites and caused them to lose heart, but he followed God completely. Here, completely is a Hebrew, is madre, which means complete, full. In other words, Caleb's faith taken literally demonstrated that he was a man of absolute faith, following God completely, no matter what happened. In addition to today's passage, the Bible mentions Caleb's faith several times in Numbers 14:24 and Joshua chapter 14, verse 9, and Joshua 14:14 as one who followed God completely. As one who followed God completely. In Joshua 14, verse 8, it said he was faithful to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 36, it says he fully obeyed the Lord. In the original language, Caleb is described as having done everything he could do to follow God's will with all his heart. In fact, Caleb was not part of the 12 tribes of Israel, but belonged to the Kenizzite tribe. The Kenizzites are also referred to as the Kenite, who were the descendant of Esau, the ancestor of the Edomite. You can find at the Genesis chapter 36, verse 10, all classified as one of the Kenite tribes. You can find also at the Genesis chapter 15, verse 19. In short, he was a foreigner who had no connection to God's covenant. The Bible does not mention how he became a member of the tribe of Judah. However, the God of Israel is not only the God of Israel, but the God of all peoples, all human beings. God opened the door wide to anyone who desired to become the part of his covenant people, even if they were not part of the Israelite nations. This was accomplished through the covenant of circumcision, by which God made them his people. According to the Exodus chapter 12, verse 48, this is a very important verse. Exodus chapter 12, verse 48, I like to read, "But if a stranger sojourn with you and celebrate the Passover to the Lord, let all his males, be circumcised, and then let him come near to celebrate it, and he shall be like a native of the land, but no circumcised person may eat of it." By receiving circumcision, one was considered part of the covenant people, regardless of bloodline. Although Caleb was a foreigner, he desired to participate in the Passover of the Jew. He desired for the God who had delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt to become his God. He desired to participate in the promise of the land of Canaan, which the God who had delivered the Jew from Egypt and promised. He desired to receive the land of Canaan as his inheritance as a member of God's people after being circumcised. This would not have been possible without his firm faith and determination toward God. And because he was incorporated into the tribe of Judah and became a tribal leader of the tribe of Judah, you can find that the number 13 verse 2. He was able to be one of the 12 spies who explored the land of Canaan just like Joshua. This was because his faith served as an example to all Jews, making him a representative of the tribe of Judah. With a sincere heart, that is, with faith, he did everything and followed God completely with absolute faith, loyalty, and obedience. In short, he confessed as follows. He confessed at the Joshua chapter 14, verse 8, I like to read, "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully." He confessed, "God was my God. God was my God." He did not confess God as Moses' God, but as my God. The praise, "my God," was a praise that Moses always confessed and used frequently. Isn't Moses saying the same thing in verse 9 of today's passage in the Joshua chapter 14, verse 9? Moses talked to the Caleb, "because you have followed the Lord my God fully." My Lord, my God, fully. Clearly, through Moses, Caleb came to know the Lord God, heard of God's plan of redemption, and believed in it. However, Caleb made a firm spiritual decision to call the God of Moses his own God. We all come to receive the gospel of Jesus through someone who believed in him first. We begin our spiritual journey by believing in Jesus as Lord. Some people are diligent in church life but show no spiritual growth. This is because they lack a firm decision of faith and they cannot believe that God is working with them So they always keep a distance from God in their spiritual life. This can happen to anyone who lives a spiritual life. When Jesus was arrested, Peter confidently declared, "Even if everyone else abandon you, I never will." You can find that in Matthew chapter 26, verse 33. He also confessed that "you are the Christ, the Son of the living God," in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, and declared, "Even if you must go to prison or die, I will be with you," in the Luke chapter 22, verse 33. Though he truly confessed this, he failed to put it into practice. If his faith had been one that worked with the Lord, he too should have been crucified with him. The reason Peter could only follow Jesus from a distance, the Matthew chapter 26, verse 58, was because Jesus has not become Peter's God, Peter's Lord. The one who dramatically demonstrated this kind of faith was Jacob. He knew that the blessing of the firstborn and the birthright were great blessing, so he resorted to all kinds of cunning schemes to steal his brother Esau's birthright and eventually obtain it. However, because of his birthright, he had no choice but to flee to his mother's family to preserve his life, and while he was sleeping on a stone pillow in Bethel, he saw a vision of God. God spoke to Jacob according to the Genesis chapter 28, verse 13. I like to read. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendant." Why did God not introduce himself as Jacob's God? It was because Jacob had not yet come to believe that God was his God. Though he was the God of his grandfather and father, God appeared to him because he desired to become Jacob's God. At that time, Jacob set up the stone he had been using as a pillow, poured oil on it, and made a vow to God. He vowed that if God would bring him back safely to his father's house, he would serve him as his God. In the Genesis chapter 28, verse 20 to 22, I like to read. "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat and a garment to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone, which I have set up as a pillar, will be God's house, and of all that those to give me, I will surely give a tenth to thee." This confession by Jacob acknowledged that the God he had heard about through his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac was not a God he had personally experienced or encountered. However, even though his worship was conditional, God graciously accepted his vow. Truly, God is full of grace and mercy. God wanted him to know that he is alive and involved in every aspect of his life so that he could fulfill his will through him. So when Jacob returned to his hometown after 20 years and experienced the living God in Mahanaim, that what did he confess the people God as he built as an altar in Shechem. Let's look at the Genesis chapter 33, verse 20. Then he erected there an altar and called it El Eloi Israel. El Eloi Israel. What's the meaning? That is the God of Israel. He confessed and acknowledged God, God of Israel, God of Jacob. The moment one confesses God as the Lord and acknowledges him as one's God, the relationship with God begins, leading to salvation. According to the Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10, the apostle said that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that Lord raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confessed, resulting in salvation. God revealed to Jacob that he is not someone else God or a conditional God, but the God who walks with me forever. God's becoming my God is the eternal power that overcomes the world, overcomes myself, and defeats all the schemes of Satan. The same was true for Caleb. Through the Exodus, he came to know the God of the ancestors of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And through 40 years of life in the wilderness, he experienced the God becoming his own God. Because he was confident that that this God was with him, he was able to ask for the land of Hebron without any fears. Let's look at the Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. The scripture said, actually this is a confession of the Psalm of David, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life, whom shall I dread?" The Apostle Paul was able to boldly preach the gospel of Jesus Christ even in the face of death because he was confident that God was his God. Let's look at the Romans chapter 8, verse 31. He talked right there. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" I give you another one. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 to 6. "Lest your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me?" Jesus also gave the words of assurance to those who confess that he is their God. In the Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus said, "I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages." That is why the Apostles' Creed begins with, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." The confession of my God is the beginning and end of all faith. Who is our God today? We too must have a spiritual experience of confessing God not as someone else's God, but as my God. When we do so, we can carry out the duties and the missions that the Father has given to each of us with gratitude, joy, and boldness in all things. Caleb, though he began as a stranger to God, he became a model of salvation by participating in the Passover feast that passes from death to eternal life through the covenant of circumcision, calling God his God. Let's look at the Romans chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. He became a covenant people through the redeemed blood of Jesus, the Passover lamb, and by obeying God to the end, he became one of the two witnesses who eternally the promised land alive rather than dying. We too have been called as the covenant peoples, having become the descendants of Abraham through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Like Caleb, by confessing our faith as my God, my Father, may we all become the two witnesses who testify to the certainty of this redemptive history in the last days, and those who preach the last gospel in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray together.